You're listening to Marriage Takeover with Eric and Tamika Thompson, helping to enrich your marriage.
I'm Tamika.
I'm your boy, E-Rock, man.
We have been married for 22 years.
22.
We keep it real.
We keep it raw.
And we keep it uncut.
All day.
And so this is a Marriage
Takeover.
So welcome again to another episode of Marriage Takeover.
Welcome.
We want to thank, if you are new and you are visiting us for the first time, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure that you hit that subscribe button.
Subscribe.
So that you can know when we have some new material coming your way. And if you are tuning in with us again, thank you so much for tuning in again. We really appreciate you. Today, we're going to be talking about the marriage vows.
Marriage vows.
So
did you take yours? Marriage vows. Or did you write yours?
Did you know, though, that marriage vows are not biblical?
What?
The marriage vows are not in the Bible.
Are you serious?
Did you know that?
Where did they get it from?
No, somebody made them up.
The marriage vows, I forgot the individual's name, but it actually started out as a prayer when he was getting ready to marry his wife. I have to come back.
Yeah, because I found it. We got to pull that information.
Yeah, I have to pull it. I've got the dude's name.
I'm going to need my phone to look that information because we got to make sure that you...
I'm going to make sure it's right. But from what I read, like I said, I forgot the person's name, but it started out as a prayer.
So we have this handy dandy book. I also pulled some resources. We pulled some resources from the internet. And this is the pastor's guidebook. And it's a manual for all things like that go on in the church. And do you know that not only are the vows in here, but the vows are also on the internet, and there are like so many different variations of the vows.
So many.
Based off of your religion, based off of which denominational church you're in, there are so many different variations of the vows.
A whole bunch of them.
So what we're going to do today is we're going to break down the, I guess, the Christian.
Well, listen, we're going to break down the vows. We're going to break down the vows that we have in our hands. How about that?
And not only that we have in our hands, but the vows that we took with one another. So we didn't write our own vows. We took from what we were given. These are going to be the vows that we're going to break down today. And then if you want to add your vows or you want to, you know, offer some input, do so in the chats. We're going to drop all the other information in the chat box as well, in the show notes, so that you'll have that information. But we're just going to break down the vows. So did you want to break
before
down?
Before we go, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we bless your name. We give your name all the glory, honor, and praise because you are truly awesome in this place.
Yes.
God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. Father God, we thank you for how you even ordering our steps.
Yes,
God. And so, God, I pray now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, as we start this broadcast, oh God, that you have your way.
Yes.
Father God, you be in the midst. You sit with us two or three guys together in your name. There you are in the midst. And Father, we thank you right now.
Yes,
and so, God, we pray even as we begin to go through these vows, God, that we continue, oh God, to bring in the things that, God, that we continue to speak on things that you have brought to our eyes, oh God, and even just flow even in the midst of it now. And Father, we just thank you now, God. We give you the glory. We give you the honor and the praise. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So as we get ready to jump in and dive in again.
We're going to jump in here, 2 feet.
Just remembering that, so again, the vows are not biblical. So they have a lot of different scriptural references that kind of correlate to certain things. But the marriage in and of itself and the vows that correlate to the marriage is just a ceremony. So if you listen to the last podcast where
it's a ceremony with meaning.
It's a ceremony with meaning. But if you listen to the last podcast that we did where we were talking about covenant versus contract, then you'll understand how you can easily go from on that day of the wedding where you are kind of leading up to this is the person that you want to marry, how you can go and start from a covenant, but then it changes into a contract,
right,
because somewhere along the way you didn't remember the vow that you took.
Or you remember the vow, but felt as though it didn't have any meaning at this point.
Right.
So let's look at this. Look at the first thing. Now, from what I have noticed, the first thing is, I take you. So, as he stands as...
Is that what you want to say? Hold on. So, we got to go all the way back. Not to the I take you part with the husband and the wife or the bride and the groom standing in front of each other. But these are the affirmations of the marriages where if I'm looking in the ceremonial book properly, it's asking the bride, the groom, the family, and the friends.
Oh, It's asking the witnesses.
Right. So these are the people who are saying, you know how you get the messy friends and be like, she should be marrying him and all of this and all. But has never said that to the bride.
And also, don't forget the disgruntled parents that's not in agreement.
That just be like, that is not the one for
that
you.
That is not the one for you.
I'm not signing off on this.
No.
But don't nobody say nothing when we get to the wedding day.
Right. Nobody don't want to say nothing. Just in the attitude. Just attitude.
Right. So do we want to try to play it out a little bit? So if you're tuning in for the first time, this is how we do it. We are real raw, and we like to make sure that we keep things lighthearted, but we also are adding value so that you understand that this is something that means so much to us,
right,
and we want you to get it. So a lot of times people will speak and preach and teach at you, but they don't ever really dig down into showing you kind of the application.
We just want to talk.
So showing you the application. So it says, so they're all here. It says, bride, groom, and family and friends, we are gathered here today because Christians believe in marriage. And we do.
Right.
And this is not a mockery.
Jump past that part. Just gather here today.
But it says, we believe that it is appropriate for Christians to gather to celebrate this happy occasion and to praise God for his goodness.
Okay.
Even more importantly, we believe that it is right to make our marriage vows to one another in the presence of God and his people. So if we're making the vows present in front of God and his people, and we're affirming everybody, our family, our friends who are involved in this, is it not right if you have some type of apprehension before they start to get to this point to say I do?
Well, this is that point in other vows that would say if someone believe that these two,
I think that's in the ceremony.
That's in this? Okay. But I don't know the one that she's looking at. But
hold on, this is like a before you get to the marriage table. So we are gathered today in the presence of God and in the company of your friends to join together this man and this woman in God's holy institution of marriage. We all should know, and the groom and the bride do know, I am assured, that marriage is not to be entered into lightly or unadvisedly, but reverently, not only with the joy and the hope of Christians, but also in awe of God, whose will they shall seek to follow. So we get into the marriage situation because it's not only for us to, not only should we not go into it lightly or unadvisedly, that's when we come into the premarital coaching and counseling, but it's reverently, not only with the joy and the hope of Christians, but also in awe of God, whose will they shall seek to follow. So when we're coming together and we're saying that we're getting ready to take our marriage vows together, and we're getting ready to walk and make this covenant, this agreement, this vow together, we're not only saying that we're coming together for one another, but we're also doing that because we seek the will of God that we should follow. So I think that too is a nugget point to where when we get to the covenant versus the contract, somewhere along the way, one of us forgot to follow the will
of
God.
It don't have to be along the way, because we may not even be following coming to. Because there's been a whole lot of marriage, and I'm not saying that your marriage is not going to work, because marriage is what you make it. But what I'm saying is that you can't, I believe that you cannot fulfill the fullness of your marriage without Christ.
Right.
And so even coming to this ceremony and not being in a place of in total surrenderance to Christ, that's where we begin to miss the piece. And so basically the third, the intertwine, if you will. And so then now it's like, I'm getting married with you in holy matrimony, but I'm not fully connected.
Right. I'm not fully connected. And so throughout the ceremony, they go to bless the parents. So there is a blessing that's read over the parents. The idea of the father giving his daughter away seems...
But why do we need to bless the parents? Why is there a need to bless the parents? And it's not them that's tying the knot.
I think that the blessing over the parents is also maybe the significance of saying that you have taken care of this child. You have taken care of this son, this daughter up until this point in their life. And now that they are going to have to cleave to their spouse, then now we are saying a blessing over the parents, because sometimes that might be a difficult situation for the parents to let their children go. That's right. The only thing I can think of is because they have cared and nurtured and loved on them all this time,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and directed them and made them and helped to produce the woman or the man they are.
Okay. I can dig it.
Right?
I can dig it.
So, let me go back here. It says, so the idea of the father giving his daughter away seems to be archaic today, but the principle underlying that ancient statement is still valid. The book of Genesis tells us that a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife,
mm-hmm.
and they become one flesh. When a father agrees to give his daughter away, he is endorsing
mm-hmm.
this biblical principle and giving his consent to his daughter's marriage to this man. By his agreement, he willingly wow. forfeits the primary place
uh-huh.
that he and his wife have had in her, in his daughter's life, and gives his blessing to the marriage of his daughter and her husband.
Man, you know, you done said a whole
woo!
Lot of stuff right there.
You know, my daddy wasn't there and I went.
I know. So it comes to the place now, if for that wife to be
right
that has an absent father, who gives, according to this vow lineup,
right,
who gives
this woman
that child
be married to this man?
Who blesses that from the absent father? Come on here now. Ooh, girl, that thing opened up on something else. Fathers, we got to understand who we are in our house and to our children.
Yeah.
But, so my thing is, because I understand as the word of God says, he says, I'll be a father to the fatherless.
Right.
So what trips me out right here is that if we have Christ, or we have God as being our father, he is giving his child away to himself.
Right.
Oh my God. Well, what do you mean? Because yet I'm giving you away to what I have blessed and have ordained. But the only thing is that you got to remember, I'm still intertwined with you. So this thing can go, man, we can take this thing a little bit deeper. Woo! Go ahead.
And so it's really important here. It says, who gives this woman to be married to this man? A parent of the bride, they say, I do. The father of the bride says, her mother and I do.
So, I have to now, so if the question is raised, who gives this child to this man? Who gives this woman to this man? My man, you know what I'm saying?
Clean it up.
Who gives this woman to this man?
Uh-huh.
And you have to identify yourself as I do, because I have primary place over being a watcher over her.
Right.
So now I have now identified myself. Mm-hmm. So now I'm saying I am turning it all over.
I am turning the reins
all over to you. Ooh, that's weight right there. Oh my God.
So.
Jesus!
That is some weight.
That right there makes you think.
If you think about how deep that is, if you think about how you've disciplined, how you've loved, how you've cared, how you've nurtured, how you've built up, how you've encouraged, how you've been there for every mistake, how you've been there for the faults, how you've been there to catch, how you've been there to nourish, to care for them when they were sick, and to be there for them financially.
How you been there to encourage?
Right.
How you been there to lift up? How you been there to strengthen?
Think about all that. That as a parent, you're saying, I'm giving that up and I'm turning it over.
Ooh, that's weight right now.
to the man that you are about to marry.
I'm 22 years. I just felt more weight come on me.
To the man that you are about to marry.
Ooh, Jesus.
Let's keep going.
All right. Hold on. Wait a minute.
You want to stay there for
a minute?
We're going to end up with part two.
Wait a minute. So this is the thing. Because if, now here, we're so in love. We're so in love, but yet we're not married yet, but I have given you the ring to say, hey, will you marry me? And you said yes, but guess what? The reins have not been turned over to me yet. So I cannot take the place, I cannot take on the rings until it has been handed over to me by way of matrimony. But it trips me out how sometimes we try to take the place before we even got the ring.
Right.
Come on now. Y'all got to get back. You got to get back to it.
Not only that, so they profess and pronounce that they do, the mother and I do, and then who gives this woman to be married to this man? The parent says, I do. So will the father of the bride please present her to the groom?
First, I identify, then I have to have a ceremonial.
So this is when, you know, you got the veil on, you got to take the veil off.
Yes.
I wish we
now
had
I have to present. Hold on 1 second.
Do we have the
y'all know what the veil is supposed to look like? You know what the veil is supposed to look like.
This is the bootleg version.
But this is the boot right here, Slim.
If you are watching or listening via podcast, you have
sit
got
down.
To go
sit,
and listen.
Sit down. Sit down. Come here, baby. Y'all will see my daughter here.
Oh,
why?
No,
because
no.
Well, you don't want to bring my baby in here?
No.
Okay. All right. Mama said no. All right, that's okay. It's all right. I'm gonna get you on the next. But I have to first identify that I am the primary holder of these rings, and so as I present my gift, because this was my gift that came. Come on here now. As I present my gift, I turn my gift now over to the husbandman to be. The rings right along with the gift. She is still a gift to the husband. Want me to prove it? Nobody want me to prove it? Cool, praise the Lord. But, But, why? He says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. So I have just given my gift to the husband. I present my gift to you. I have just presented you favor. Ooh, God.
But,
you got something there?
She's not his yet.
Oh, come on now.
Oh.
So. I just presented you favor.
Oh, yes.
My God.
Yes.
Marriage takeover in full effect.
And then it says, the pastor then says to, do you give your blessing to the bride and the groom in their new relationship? Do you support them with your love and wisdom? At the same time, do you promise to allow them the freedom to grow through their own experiences?
So a charge itself is even given to the parents too.
It's given, it's not even a charge. Well, it's a charge, but it's almost as if, do you, number one that I noticed was, do you support them?
Right.
So, if your parents don't support the union, not that they always have to, sometimes there can be chaos. Sometimes there can be added frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there can be added distractions that you can't fully step into the what you have, because then it's harder for you to separate and to cleave.
Come on.
Because you still want to please your parents on one end,
uh-huh.
but then you also are still struggling with being able to cleave to your spouse.
Come on.
So they're asking the question, do you support them? With your love and your wisdom? At the same time, do you promise to allow them the freedom?
Uh-huh.
That means you don't insert yourself.
Come on.
Unless they are asking you.
Come on now.
And even when they ask you, that means you don't get upset when they decide to do something different.
Come on now.
Than what you offered them.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when we first got married, the best thing that could have ever happened to us
was we
moved to the other side of the country.
We
went from Florida to Alaska.
We went from the bottom east to the northwest.
And that was the best thing ever. We had no family members there. We had no... Now, was it rough? Oh, heck yes, it was rough.
Oh, my God. I was
so homesick. I wanted my mom. I called her every time there was a problem, every time I got mad, every time he didn't do something I wanted him to do. But I thank God that she always was the voice of reason. She never just sided with me because I was her daughter. She saw the reason. She knew who I was. She saw the reason, and she was like, well, wait a second. Let me give you wisdom. So when the vow said, do you at this time promise to allow them the freedom to grow through their own experiences, she was a firm believer of that.
Oh, yeah.
She offered her wisdom, her nuggets, and she was out.
She
never even asked what turned out or how did it happen. She never cared. I'm going to insert my wisdom, and you all learn and grow from your own experiences. And so the challenge that we as parents sometimes have, especially...
We try to take control.
Not even try to take control, but we try to navigate the outcome.
Ooh!
We had a pastor friend doing a teaching, and it resonated with me. We try to navigate the outcome because our son or our daughter didn't marry who we thought that they should marry or get into a relationship that we thought that they should get into a relationship. And we have invested a lifetime into our children.
Ooh.
We have invested a lifetime into our children, and we only want the best for them.
Only want the best.
So when we see somebody who comes along that may not be able to offer the best for them, we like to come and step in the middle and interfere.
Come on.
And try to determine and dictate the outcome.
Right.
Where when it's saying, hey, listen, let me tap you on your shoulder while we all standing here front of one another.
Right. And the witnesses.
And our family and our friends.
Right.
And it's asking, at the same time, do you promise to allow them the freedom to grow through their own experiences? That means mom and dad, some stuff might happen that you would have never, ever wanted your child to experience.
Right, right, right.
Some things might happen where you built your life and built your legacy and built the things that you built so they would never, ever have to experience the things that you experienced.
Right, right.
But guess what? This means that you will allow them the freedom to grow through their own experiences. Whether you wanted them to go through that or not.
Now, I'm going to just throw a caveat on this real quick. I'm going to be honest with you. If you are a parent with a child in an abusive relationship, I ain't going to lie to you. I'm going to get mine.
Yeah,
I'm going to be honest with you.
This is not that type of situation.
I'm going to get mine.
So that is a
with
caveat.
Blazing. That's all I'm saying.
So this is a caveat to all of that. If you know that your child is in an abusive relationship,
you better go get them.
You provide whatever resources to make sure that they are safe. Go get them. Go do whatever is necessary to make sure they're safe. This is not condoning abusive relationships.
Right.
Period.
We just want to make sure that's out there. You know, we don't even want you to wonder.
Right. That is not what this is.
But we're just saying that because your daughter or your son has had a disagreement with, I wanted to buy this new car, but my baby didn't want me to. Oh, you don't insert yourself and say, oh, wait, what can they do? And it's your money. Well, right there, you're in the wrong. Because as soon as you become one, everything comes together. Ooh. So you got to allow them to go through their mistakes so that they... Why are we sitting here talking to the parents in this marriage takeover?
But this might help a couple who still got their parents still dibbling and dabbling trying to control
their marriage. Come on, girl. You own it.
That was a heavenly nugget.
Girl, come on. So, and that's the thing. It's like, no, wait a minute. I need to learn because if you keep rescuing me, then I would never learn how to swim. And I'm only in 3 feet of water.
And here's the thing. Sometimes we have to learn how to communicate differently.
Differently. Amen.
The way that I communicate with my parents is different than I communicate with my husband.
Amen.
And so we have to learn what our language is going to be.
Amen.
We have to learn how to make decisions together. We have to learn how to go through things together. And if I keep reaching out on what my lifeline used to be because it was my parents, then I'm never going to have that opportunity to grow.
Right, right, right. And even for those married couples that have, marriage age or have a child that's married, understand, begin to look back at yours. If your parents stayed in your marriage and you know how yours feel, don't do that today.
Right.
But if your parents was not in your marriage, they left you to figure it out on your own, guess what? That's the lesson that you need to take as to your children. Because, well, hey, listen, you lived in the house with us.
Right.
You saw what we did. So this is, I can give you wisdom, right, and you can decide to take it or not.
Right. Right. Because I know when we first got married, my mom didn't insert herself.
Mine didn't either.
But I think that there was more of, so his mom didn't approve of our marriage. And so because she didn't approve of our marriage,
she'll never tell you, but her actions was a little different.
Because she didn't approve of our marriage, I think there was some friction with just the family dynamics. And Eric, because he was the baby,
I was the all-American, if you will.
He struggled from trying to please his mom and trying to please me. And so, yeah.
I'm very honest. This is Marriage Takeover. We keep it raw. We keep it real.
So then because it took you a really long time to tell your mom, stop.
No.
This is our marriage. This is what we're doing.
No.
And this is how we're going places.
Because see, now it seems like I might have to bring some stuff out so that to kind of jog her memory. Because one thing I knew from my brother, because my brother gave me nuggets, and my brother told me, he says, remember.
I love his brother. He's like my favorite brother.
And so he says to me, I remember this because this was like in year one, where actually like a couple months. But he says to me, he says, man, I'm going to tell you, keep everybody out your business. He said, it's your house. Nobody else need to control your house. It's your house. So that's why it didn't take me long. Because when he told me that, I said, I feel you. That's what you do at your house, but this is mine. So you can say what you want to say. Because you got to remember when mama came up, mama set us both down, her mom. When she came up, she set us both down and told you. She said, no, you're wrong because you did not, the things that took place.
She I 100%
And she
agree.
Said, you know, you did not do X, Y, Z. She
That's
did not say.
What talk about, babe.
Huh?
That's
no, but what I'm saying is, we're talking about parents inserting. She could have inserted, I could have still allowed, but what I'm saying is, no, it stopped at the door because guess what? This is my house. And then the one thing about it was that I knew I came from a single family home. So I, in my own mind, because of my brother's wisdom, I ain't gonna lie to you, but because of the wisdom that my brother gave me, it's like I didn't really have that example. So it's like, okay, I understand what you're saying, but this is now where I get to make my mistakes. And I might have to learn from them, but I have to take what fits my house. And you're not the one that fit.
I get it, and it's good that you say that, but I don't think, if we're 100% honest, that's not the way that our first couple years of marriage went.
So again, let me just put this caveat out there real quick. when you, just because you do not see it, does not mean it has not been spoken.
Okay. All right.
Ooh.
So then the parents say,
"Well, that was like, okay, you're right, honey. That's what that was right there." But go ahead.
So then the parents say, "We do." Then the pastor goes and he talks to the bride specifically and says, "Bride, the bride is about to pledge her faith, love, and loyalty to the groom. Is there one of her family family? Is there one of her family who is prepared to present her to him?" So after the father and they go and they present them, then they're asking who's going to, they're preparing everybody to say, okay, this is about to happen. So now is there one person from the family that is going to present her? And then the father or the designated person says, I commit the bride into your love and care. May God bless you richly. So this is the bride. The father of the bride or the designated person of the bride that is now turning the bride over and saying that I commit this bride into your love and your care.
Okay.
May God bless you richly. So they're speaking a blessing over you.
Right.
So if you aren't, which is why they go back to ask you, Do you support them? Because you can't support them.
And then
try to speak a blessing over them if you don't support them.
Come on now.
If you don't believe that they should be getting married, if they don't do this and they don't, and then everybody gonna stop after the wedding and talk about them.
Stop talking about it.
And bets gonna be on.
Stop making bets.
Outright. Who is, how long they gonna stay married? How long they gonna do this? What's gonna really go on? What's gonna really happen?
Right. But, and the thing that I love about even when they spoke the blessing, it said the first thing, I present this woman into your love and your care. If I present you into your love, that means, guess what? I have now canceled out all flaws. Right. Meaning what? I don't see them.
Right.
So they're saying, listen, I know who I'm giving you.
Right.
But I'm giving them into your love and into your care.
Right.
So that means that you're going to love them enough to cover them.
Right.
That means you're going to love them enough to encourage them.
Right.
You're going to love them enough to strengthen them.
Right.
You're going to love them enough to be honest with them.
Yes.
You're going to love them enough to build them up.
Yes.
You're going to love them enough. Yes. And that's what I'm presenting you into that. Why? Because this is what I get.
Right. Right. That's good. That's good.
Woo!
How are we on time?
Oh, we're fine. Chad, please, got hold on 30 minutes.
Okay, good, good, good. No, that's good. So, the blessing of the children. So, it says, obviously, this worship element would apply only in circumstances where one of the marriages has children by previous marriage.
I got to show her how to read these things so she can cut out a lot of this other stuff.
But this is for blended marriages.
Okay, okay.
Right?
Amen. Praise
the
Lord.
So in most weddings, the parents are asked to release their children to give the marriage their blessing. So at this point, which is so good, not only has now the parents turned the bride over to the groom for presentation, but before they go into this process, they then turn to the children who are going to be a part of this marriage, who are going to be a part of the household, who are now going to be blended together.
Okay.
To say, do we receive your blessings? Do we receive your blessings? Today, however, we're going to ask these children to give their blessing to their parents. That means that if you don't agree, then...
Tread lightly.
I'm going to tread lightly.
You know what? We have a blended couple.
I know, but we got to bring them in for that one.
Go ahead.
I want to say something.
We got to bring them in for that one.
A lot of times what happens in the blended marriages, and like Eric said, we have a couple who they're phenomenal when it comes to blended marriages. They are in a blended marriage and they're phenomenal. God has anointed them for that, and that's who they are. That's what they do.
Oh, we're going to have to bring them back for this one.
The challenge is when you get into those situations and then you have the stepchildren and the this and the that, and they might be living in different households and they may not be coming under one roof, but nobody has asked them,
ooh,
do you bless this union?
Come on.
Here in the ceremonial description of what takes place,
it's all ceremonial.
They're asking, however, we're going to ask these children to give their blessing to their parents.
Right.
Who the bride and the groom will need your support to have their marriage
be
as happy and as strong as it might be.
As happy Come on.
So when you omit the children from this process because you might think that it should not matter.
Oh, they may be biased.
Not only that, because it don't matter. They too young. Or no, I got to get mine. I done spent all my life doing stuff for the kids. And now I got to get me. Now I got to look out for me. But you don't offer them the opportunity to give you a blessing for this union.
Ooh. But hold on.
Then what are you doing? What are you saying?
Ooh, girl. You done said something right there. Ooh, you don't say something.
What are you saying?
Right,
so then you get mad because they done went. John went and he done told his mom about what's going on in the household, and then now you have baby mama drama because now Sheila wants to go and she don't want to be there no more, or they disrespecting you, or they disrespecting him. But guess what, boo? Nobody asked the kids for their blessing. Maybe, and here's the thing: the kids might see something that you don't see. So if they say, I don't agree, or if they say, I don't think this is the time, then you talk to them before you get to the door of the wedding, before you say, I do, before you go through this process, so that everybody has an opportunity to weed out all the mess. Because what happens when you get into the blended marriages is you sit in a situation because the grass hasn't been tilled, because the land hasn't been tilled, because the weeds haven't been pulled up. You now get to the I do's. You go on the honeymoons. Everybody's coming, and people coming for the summer and for spring break. And then sometimes they're staying with you 100% of the time. And now you're trying to figure out, well, what happened? You know, what happened was you never went and tilled the ground with the children so they could tell you, well, Mom, I don't like when he talks to me like this. Or, Dad, I don't like when she talks to me like this. Okay, well, let's figure out. Let's break down the barriers to feel, to understand, why don't you like this?
It's not
that they're trying to replace your mom or replace your dad. Let's talk about the why.
Now, because I just remembered, she's talking from a child of a blended marriage. Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
So I was in a blended marriage or blended family, if you
will. Yeah, she was. It was all kind of messed up. Praise the Lord.
It was all kind of messed up.
So she's talking from the child standpoint.
But nobody asks, and so when you ask, and then these things are brought up, and you say, "Okay, well, these are my reservations." Okay, well, why? Don't dismiss the child.
Right.
Understand where they're coming from and help them to understand this is the deal.
Right.
Like, have you ever seen the movies where, you know, you go and you work, and when the mom is home, the fiance is one way, but when the mom leaves to go to work, there's something completely different. Well, guess what? Kids see all of that.
Right.
Kids see everything.
Even when the father
is home.
Or vice versa, right?
Or vice versa. But kids see a lot, so understand that you can't dismiss them.
Right.
Understand why they are saying what they're saying, and don't dismiss them.
Come on, cause
so when you get to the wedding vow, when you get to the sanctuary, when you get to the courthouse, when you get to, you're at the beachfront of your wedding or wherever you're going to get married, then the kids have no problem with giving you their blessing.
Right.
Because you've incorporated them into the process. Mm. Now, kids, it does not mean that you run the marriage.
Right.
But
right.
It means that you've given them a voice to say, this is what matters to me right now.
And I believe that even the child themselves will respect you even more. Remember, I have a buddy of mine. He's in Atlanta right now. But when he got married, I remember he actually had a vow for the child, asking the child for the blessing.
Yeah.
He had an own written vow for the child, for asking the child for the blessing.
Yeah. Wow. It matters.
Wow.
It matters. They matter.
Wow. Wow.
And then it says, do your children promise to support them and their marriage?
Come on.
It's not only supporting them, but also supporting their marriage. Amen. They're two different things.
I think we done dug on that one.
And the children say we do.
I think we done dug on that one pretty well. You know what? We're going to pencil that part, because I really want to bring in our good friends of ours that's a blended family. And because they have an awesome ministry. So I want to bring them in, because I want to really ask that part to them.
Okay, I'll pick
you. You know, to ask that part to them so that they can really go more in detail. Like I said, because I know I can't say anything about it, but I know as a child, I know that she understood because she saw some things. But I know for them being blended, I believe that they can really, because as soon as you said that, they just popped up in my head like, oh yeah, this is something I know they can really break down, drop some nuggets in.
And so then the ceremony will continue.
So that's going to be on part two.
So then the ceremony will continue. It says, if I speak in tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal.
I don't have no power.
And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
I mean, I'm powerless if I don't know how to love.
Because if you remember that in the scriptures, so if you're new, we take everything from a biblical standpoint. And so if you understand the scriptures, love covers a multitude of sins.
A multitude.
So if you are in a relationship or you are in a covenant, then if you have that love that they're trying to explain to you before they even get to the marriage vows, they are reiterating the importance of love. You can be a preacher, you could be an apostle, you could be have all these titles, all these
you
different
things. You could be a
things,
doctor, lawyer,
whoever and whatever you want, but if you have that and not love, it's nothing.
You don't have nothing to offer. If you don't know how to love, you have nothing to offer. That is why that parent and that child said, "I am committing them into your love and care." Because above all things, the greatest is love.
And love is not conditional.
Come on now.
Because when you love somebody, just as a parent, think about it. As a parent, when your child does something as angry as you might get with that child, it never stops you from loving them.
Come on.
If your child goes and they do something that's completely beyond what you all ever thought, what you all ever taught your child, you still love them. You're angry, they come with consequences, but you never stop loving them.
Right.
Never stop loving them. And so that's the same type of commitment beyond, which is what you're getting ready to step into with this marriage vow. So they're leading you up to and giving you, these are all the things.
Go ahead.
All the things that you need to understand. So, and this, I think it brought it from a Christian, because Eric said doctors and lawyers, but I'm going to take it back to the church because this was specifically saying that marriage was for Christians. And so I'm going to take it back to the church house. You could be a deacon, you could be a pastor, you could be an apostle, you could be whatever you want to be.
You could be a lay member.
Speaking in tongues is specifically the reference that it gave.
Uh-huh.
You could be speaking in all these tongues, but if you have not love, it's like sounding brass.
So when you begin to look at love, and it says in 1 Corinthians 13, it says, "And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor," and wait a minute, 13:4 says, "Charity, which is love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not." Charity, what's that really?
Vaunteth
itself not, meaning is
vaunteth not itself.
It vaunteth not itself, meaning what's the word? It's not puffed up, basically. Oh,
it's
man.
It's not puffed up, it's not boastful.
It's not boastful.
Yes.
It do not behave itself unseemingly.
Yes.
Seeketh not her own. It is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. Beareth all things. Believe all things. Hope all things. Endure all things. Charity never faileth. Love never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we, that's going into something different. But for we know in part, therefore we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Talking about love. I just want her to get to it. Okay. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. Thank you, Lord. Go back and read it. Okay. Got to go back to verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity, which is love.
So then it says, if I give away all that I have, and if I deliver my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing.
Nothing.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way.
Come on.
It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they all shall pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. And as for, I think that's what you just read. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-13.
This is a different translation.
Right. So that's just a different translation, but I'm going to read it just for the sake of, because it's here. They will cease, and for the knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. Mm. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now, we see a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. Again, that was 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. Be subject one to another, mm-hmm. out of reverence for Christ. Wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord. Mm-hmm. For the husband is the head of the wife, right. as Christ is the head of the church. His body and himself, it is its savior. Mm-hmm. As the church is subject to Christ, so let wives also be subject to everything that their everything to their husbands. Mm-hmm. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Uh-huh. Ephesians 5:21-25. So just to break this down a little bit, we've done this teaching before in a previous podcast. I don't remember the number. But since we're here, let's revisit it for just a moment. It says to wives, be subject to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the house, is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. So as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives also be subject to everything to their husbands. So this is saying that wives, you should subject yourselves to your husbands. This is also at the same sentence, in the same breath, saying, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So understand here that when we're saying that you are subject, and it didn't identify here, but in the scripture reference out of the Bible, it says that wives, subject yourselves to your own husbands. And so when they're saying to your own husbands, sometimes what we will do, I'm going to tell myself, sometimes what I will do, right, or what I have done, I'll say that, what I have done is, don't get comfortable, it ain't going to take long. So sometimes what we'll do is when we will obey sometimes the pastor where we're going to church before we listen to and honor our husbands and subject to our husbands.
Let's not say obey, because I don't want that word to be misconstrued.
Okay, let's not say
obey. Let's just say honor. Let's go with honor.
Honor, listen, respect.
There you go. Respect.
Honor, listen, or respect. So the pastor can say do something or to do something, or he'll preach a word, or maybe he'll give you an assignment for you to do something at the church or whatever the case is. But then your husband is sitting at home, and instead of you being the wife that God has designed for you and your family, not to say that you've got to be the homemaker, mm-hmm. is whatever you have decided in your family.
Right. But what y'all have agreed on.
But what shall not happen is because your family is your first ministry, ooh. That you are in the house, in the church, and you're working nonstop, and you're neglecting your home. Mm. That should not ever happen.
Or even not just the church. I'm saying that because we're utilizing the Christian vows.
Okay.
It's even also not just that, but if you're working and neglecting their home, that goes for the husband as well. It's like, okay, now really, what do you then make time for? Go ahead.
Right. No. So then, what that becomes is that thing that you're working for, that you're going to all the time, becomes an idol. Ooh. So I understand that people have to go to work to make a living because we have bills now that we have to maintain. God didn't design us to have that life. But since we stepped out there, now we have to go and we have to work to provide and pay bills and do all this stuff for the family. But what I want to make sure, and granted, this may not be as much anymore because now we are in a more virtual setting in a church than physical settings in the church. But what I have found and experienced in the past is that you are in the church and you're working and you're saying it's ministry. I got to do this for the pastor. I got to do this for the church. I got to do this. And now your family is sitting at home like, What we doing? Where we going?
Ooh.
And your family is the first ministry.
It's the first ministry.
So when they say, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands in the scripture, can you find that, baby? Because I want to say, because I don't want y'all to think I'm lying. The scripture says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husband. Mm-hmm. And so that means that sometimes we will have a male figure that's in our headspace or that's in our life, and we will submit ourselves to them and honor and respect them before we do our husbands. And that's not biblical. That's not what God designed for us to be able to do. And again, the caveat is not that if you were in an abusive relationship, get out.
That is Ephesians 5:22.
Yeah, it's Ephesians 5:21. It might be 22.
Ephesians 5:22.
Because I don't want y'all to say I lied and it's not in there.
And 21 says, submit, it says, giving things always in 20. Sorry, 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord 22. Jesus Christ. Oh, well, you want to go at 21? Mm-hmm. Okay. 22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband.
To your own husbands. It didn't say that in this reference that we read here, but to your own husbands.
As unto the Lord. That's all you want to
That was it. Because I want you to understand, so this means as unto the Lord. So when you take that back to scripture, okay, well, Tamika, they getting on my nerves and they ain't doing what they supposed to be doing. No. And they not read, they not in the word, they not doing what they supposed to do. Okay, well, maybe they hadn't figured out who they are yet in Christ. And so, excuse
me. We gotta have part two on this one.
What our responsibility as the wives are is to make sure that we are sanctifying our husband. We are loving our husband beyond the foolishness that they're in, beyond the foolishness that they're betraying, beyond the foolish behaviors, and loving them beyond that. And we are saying, okay, God, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. Lord, show me how to make sure that I'm sanctifying my husband, that I am covering him, that I am speaking over him, that I am building him up, that I am speaking life into him, even though his actions and his behaviors don't betray it right, portray it right now. Help me, God, so that I don't get off course. Help me, God, so that I can still submit to him, that I can still love him, that I can still honor him, that I can still respect him.
Come on now.
Despite of what it looks like. He might be sitting at home miserable and depressed right now because he can't get out and work right now. You come home from work and you're thinking that certain things should be done around the house, but I want you to know that you love him. You sanctify him. This doesn't mean that you break the covenant because he's in a slump right now. No, you pray over him. And when I say pray over him, this doesn't mean that you go throughout the house and loudly be praying and laying oil and doing all these things. No, you just walk by, and as you're praying, you lay your hands as you are walking past while he's sitting in the living room in the same spot where you left him when you walked out, when you left out to go to work this morning.
That's love. Come on now. Come on now.
And as you continue to align yourself with where God wants you to be, God will then start working in fixing the heart of that husband to say, okay, Jack, I need you to get up.
Get your butt up now. Come on now. I'm a witness. Praise him.
I'm telling you what I know.
Come on now. Come on now. We just talking about the vows. So
we ain't even got there.
We ain't got to the vows. This is just the pre-thing. So, we thank you for joining on.
Is that it already?
Yeah, child.
Ooh, man.
So,
we got a part two coming.
It's going to be a part two, man. This just might end up being a whole series at the great. The wedding vow. So, I'm telling you, I truly believe that what she just said, somebody needed at this present moment that you're listening to.
Don't you give up.
Ooh, my God today. So, you know what?
Listen. I want to say this too. So we are right now in unprecedented times, right? And we've never been here before.
Amen.
So in spite of maybe they might have been unemployed before, maybe they might have been in a situation before, but they may have never been unemployed through a pandemic.
Come on.
And so now that you have the pandemic and then you got the kids working, doing school at home, and it's in a virtual space, and you're still having to go out and to do the elements, and you feel like you got so much on your plate right now. Sis. Let me holler at you.
Holler at me.
Don't give up.
Come on now.
Keep other people out of your ear gates.
Come on now.
Your assignment right now is to pray over your husband, to guide him, to strengthen him, to pour out your love on him, to speak life into him. Mm-hmm. See, the thing is, when we're depressed, you don't hear anything else. Like, when you're depressed, you are all in your headspace.
Right, right.
And so when the Word of God says to renew your mind and to renew your mind daily, it's talking about so that those things don't get subject to your mind.
Amen.
Because when they start getting into your mind and they start controlling it, and then you have a whole nother situation and a whole nother life that's being birthed inside of your mind that's not even your true reality.
Mm.
So I need you to understand that the Spirit trumps all of that.
Come on now.
You got to understand that the Spirit trumps that. Mm. So when the husband is not aligned where God wants them to be positioned, ladies, it's time for us to make sure that we're sanctifying. It's time, ladies, to activate.
Ooh.
I know you're tired. I know you're worn down. I know you're just done. But I pray that God gives you strength.
Yes.
Just the amount of strength that you need. And the beautiful thing is, when we're at our weakest, that's when he gives us our strength. So God, now in the name of Jesus, I come and we pray, God, over every household, God, that is listening in the name of Jesus,
yes,
that you would have your way in their lives,
yes,
now.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, as much as we wanted to get into the vows and we're breaking the stuff down before we've even gotten there, God, we're leaning and we're guiding and we're just leaning on you, God, the rock. So for each woman, God, that is weak right now, for each woman that is tired right now, for each woman, God, that doesn't know how to even move forward, God, for each woman, God, that is on her last of her last of her last, God, I'm asking that you would give them the strength now,
yes,
in the name of
Jesus.
That you would pour, God, and give them that supernatural strength, God. Lord, you said that when we are weak, you are made
perfect
in you, God. That's when you are strong, God, in us. That's when you are strong, when we are weak, God. Give them the strength that they need in the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Protect their ear gates. Protect their eye gates.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Keep the enemy at bay, God. Let
Hallelujah.
Them to recognize, God, when the serpent is trying to come in to ease their way in. I'm speaking to one sis in particular.
Amen.
There is somebody that's in your ear that you need to get them out of your ear.
Yes.
They are trying to weed their way into your marriage, and I'm telling you, it's not greener on the other side.
Come on now. Ayaba. Jesus.
It's not greener on the other side.
My God.
God, give them the strength, God,
yes,
to be able to stop.
Mm.
Give them the strength, God, to be able to walk away from the enemy.
Yes.
Give them the strength, God, to be able to do what we are called to do, God.
Amen.
The assignment, God, that you've given each and every woman in their household, God.
Amen.
Every household is different.
Yes.
Every household and makeup, it does not look the same.
Mm.
But God, the assignment that you've given us for our households.
Yes, God.
I ask, God, that you give these women strength, God,
yep,
to align with the Word of God and the will for their lives, that you would pour out, God, in the
pour
name of Jesus.
Home.
As they position themselves, God, that the activation takes place, God, and you pour out, God, the strength. You pour out, God, the courage. You pour out, God, the power.
Yep.
You pour out, God, the anointing.
Pour
you
out,
pour out, God, the healing. You pour out, God, your presence.
Yes.
And let there be an encounter with peace,
yes, God,
instead of chaos.
Come on now.
In the name of
in
Jesus.
Name
provide
of
every need, God. Let there
yes
be no want.
Oh,
let
God
there be no lack.
In
the mighty name,
the name
of Jesus.
Of Jesus.
God, we glorify you.
Yes, Lord.
We honor you, God. And Lord, while we realize that the vows may not be biblical, God, Lord, we take the precedence of what you've done for the church. What you've done for the church, God, and we align ourselves, God, our families, God, with your word.
Yes, God.
Our relationships, God, our matrimony, God, with your word.
With your word, yes.
Be glorified in everything that we say and everything that we do, God, everything that we touch, God.
Yep.
You be glorified in the mighty name of Jesus.
Yes.
Amen. Amen and amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well,
amen.
We truly thank God on today. You hear me? So
amen.
We thank God. We thank you all for joining us on this broadcast.
Woo, God.
Hallelujah. He's having his way. So be ready, because part two is coming. We ain't even got to the vows just yet. But part two is coming. And so we truly thank you all for joining us this evening.
Jesus.
And so we look forward to seeing you all next time. So I'm your
stop by and visit us. If you have questions that you want to submit, marriagetakeover@gmail.com. And then also the website, www.marriagetakeover.com. Follow us on IG @marriagetakeover and Facebook. Marriage Takeover.
So I'm your boy E-Rock now.
I'm your girl Tamika.
This is Marriage Takeover. Out.
Signing out. Oh God, I thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to Marriage Takeover. Connect with us on Facebook at Marriage Takeover.